life's gone down the drain. Your body's wrecked with pain. There's just one thing to blame. Dynamite in the brain. Dynamite in the brain. Dynamite in the brain. Dynamite in the brain. Dynamite in the brain.
Thanks for listening. Brian Smith and Anthony Askew here on episode 140 of Dynamite in the Brain, the podcast that loves anime and hates fun. And joining us today is Ebby.
Hello.
And we are all gathered together here to talk Space Dandy, Season 1, the first 13 episodes of Space Dandy. Because thankfully there are more. But first on the show, it is time for Weekly Retro Recap. Our regular feature, where we rewind back 10 years and watch a TV anime from 2004, episode by episode, week by week, until one of us gets sick of it, and then we start again. This week we watched Smash Hit Number 1. Anthony picked this, so it's all his fault.
You say like you had bad vibes already, before we even started.
I'd seen it already.
Ooh. Come on, you didn't pick it then.
Anyway, it's your pick. You have to do the synopsis.
I've tried to muster up some form of synopsis here. So, we have the main character, Ikita Mitsuki, who works for a production company. And when she thinks she's getting a big break, kind of working on a detective drama show, which she idolizes, and she's well into those kind of things. It turns out she's working on a show called Cause Prayers. Is that correct?
That is correct, yes.
That is correct. I just want to confirm in case I've messed it up. Which sounds to me like people are going to be perving on cosplayers. People are going to be praying on the cosplayers.
Well,
anyway,
that is another anime, as I mentioned last week. This is a three-part... There are three series all interconnected.
Oh, and they're actually interconnected in the sense of one series will follow another set of characters?
Yeah, or? So I think this one's about the production of Cos Prayers.
Oh, God.
There's Cos Prayers itself, and then I think there's another one about the teenage girls they've cast as the Cos Prayers.
Which gets me finally onto the next point where, Ikita kind of finds herself, instead of being on the other side of the table, in a sense, on the production side, she finds herself auditioning for the show. And she gets the show part. She's at the very end and skipping right across. It's only 12 minutes long, so it's pretty quick. And we go see a flash of her nipples. And that's when I thought, yeah, we're definitely watching episode 2. No, I'm kidding.
There's a few elements you've neglected to mention.
Oh yeah, they have this weird idea that girls should be dressing maturely in like mature underwear rather than stuff with...
No, I think you're missing the entire point is that she has a barely developed body even as a woman in her mid-20s. And that is the excuse for them to go, oh, it's okay.
I didn't want to delve too deeply into that.
But that is the entire selling point of the show. That is what the show exists for.
What says on the tin.
And that is why it is total garbage.
It's, it's not very good. Everything about it, it felt a lot longer than 12 minutes. There was times I was looking at the time code and I was like, no, this hasn't only been on 4 minutes. And it's awful. It looks terrible. It's very pervy. Very, very pervy. And I think it's the perviest thing I've ever seen.
Therefore, it's your favourite thing ever?
Nope. It's not even by my books. We're not seeing episode 2.
Not enough cat girls.
There's not enough anything in this. It might as well be a big sign pops up on the screen saying, "Can yourself into the cops now." That's pretty pervy. When the nipple flash at the end, I was like, "Oh goodness!" I was watching it downstairs at the time when my mum and dad watched Game of Thrones. I was on my laptop.
Well, there you go.
I'm so anxious.
Couldn't be any more embarrassed than watching Game of Thrones with your parents.
I know, that's got plenty of nipples in. At least they're of age. Well, at least they're...
That's because they've aged them up from the books in some cases.
Thankfully.
In the books, they were as bad as this. Mm.
So the Game of Thrones, smash hit. Imagine that crossover. I can't even think of any positives to take from it. Because I was under the impression she worked for an adult film industry.
No, I think it's like direct-to-video stuff. So she wants to work on, like, some hard-boiled detective film sequel.
Yeah.
But she's got stuck doing this Super Sentai rip-off with teenage girls.
Which, I don't know if you know, Brian. I don't know how much you watched originally. I would hope just till...
Just this episode.
Because yeah. There's a guy who turns up, and he's really frightening. He's one of, like, the head honchos at the place, and I think she's going to kind of fall for him because she reminds him almost of the guy from the detective show that she likes. So I think there's going to be this awful romance between her and him. I'm predicting it.
I think you may be right, but let's not find out. I think we can go to our graves safe with the knowledge we did not need to find out what happens in the rest of Smash Hit.
It felt like a good idea at the time. At least we're wiser for it.
We are. And now it's my turn to pick. Cosplay, no.
That would be great. Is it from the same year?
I can't remember if it is. Let me have a quick search.
If it is, I feel like we owe it. We owe it too.
Yes, it is, yeah. I can't remember what the other one was called, thankfully. After watching this one, I did not watch any of the other ones.
Yeah.
So what am I going to pick? See, I kind of want to pick something... but why? That's just making me watch it as well.
Exactly, it's a lose-lose situation.
It is. Oh, I know what we can do. We can do Kaiketsu Zorori.
What was that again?
That's the one about the fox thief and his two pig assistants.
Okay.
Yeah, so we'll do that next week.
Good.
Okay, on to the main event, the 2014... TV animes, Space Dandy.
Yeah.
Sort of chief director is Shinichiro Watanabe of Cowboy Bebop and Samurai Champloo fame, and is directed by Shingo Natsumi, and written by all sorts of people, and then each episode is also directed by all sorts of people. So, how excited were you guys going into this? Ebby.
I was really excited because it had been a long time. The main thing for me was that it was a Bones show. So it had been about a year since Zetsuin No Tempest had finished, which was the last thing that they did. So I was just excited to see another Bones show. And there were two last season as well, so I was just really excited for that.
And Anthony.
Mm. I can't even stress how excited I was for this. Nobody knew what they wanted. Well, people knew what they wanted, but deep down they knew they weren't going to get Cowboy Bebop, which is a good thing. You know, there's only so much Cowboy Bebop you can have. Probably release another series, no problem, and I would still love it. But, you know, I wouldn't want to see more Cowboy Bebop with this. And everybody just had all these different ideas of what they wanted, what they expected. So I was just totally on board, and I was so excited for this. I was so, so excited.
Yeah, he said that it was going to be a comedic science fiction show before they announced that it was Space Dandy. He said he was doing that for Bones. Yeah, so I was super excited, and particularly because I didn't have much interest in his, whatever it was, the thing about the band.
Oh, Kids on the Slope, another great series. I think Ebby will back me up on this one, won't you?
Yeah, I really do like that show.
Good.
Very good.
Good. Very different to this. Very, very different.
It's entirely on the opposite end of the scale. Sort of different.
But where it does, like, heartfelt moments and, you know, emotional ties, it does that well in this, just as it did in Kids on the Slope, so.
But Kids on the Slope was a manga adaptation, wasn't it? This is...
That's right, yeah.
This is straight out of people's brains. Onto the screen.
Crazy, crazy people.
And he's got another science fiction thing later this year. I think the same season. Yeah, Terror in Resonance. Or Terror
in
Tokyo.
Yeah, that comes out in summer, doesn't it?
Oh.
It does, yes. It'll be running side by side with this.
Oh, is that going to be a serious science fiction show? Oh, yeah. Awesome. Awesome. Ah, see? That's what it's all about.
And that's being done by MAPPA. Yes, I was super excited. And this is exactly what I was hoping for. I don't know...
See, that was the problem with this show. A lot of people were expecting Cowboy Bebop, and it... I have never seen Cowboy Bebop, but I don't think this is it. But I was expecting a stupid space show, and that's exactly what it is, so I wasn't personally disappointed with it.
I think people forgot that sometimes Cowboy Bebop was also a stupid space show.
Yeah. 100%. Yeah.
And as we'll go, we're going to do this in the same way we did our Bebop episodes. We'll go episode by episode. And we'll see that there are at least a couple, sort of one subtle connection and then one pretty outright connection to Bebop later on as we go through the series. But yes, the characters of Space Dandy. The three main characters are Dandy, Meow, and Cutie. Well, the crew of the Aloha Oi is
Aloha Oi.
Oi, okay.
Oi.
Oi. which means, what does that mean?
Does it, I don't know. Aloha is like,
it's farewell, I think.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
Farewell you.
Something like that. I can't remember. Yeah, so Dandy is the captain of the spaceship. Cutie is his old, out-of-date computer. And Meow is the guy who's sponging off them for the entire series, basically. Who comes from Beetlejuice.
Oh, yeah, I forgot that was his... Oh, don't forget to mention this was released dubbed and subbed.
Oh, yes.
In Japanese and English, which is a huge thing.
Yes, I had to use to watch it. I have only seen the Japanese version.
I watched the dub. There we go. I watched the dub.
Well, initially I was watching both. Each weekend I would watch the dub and the sub. And I thought, you know what? I'm so happy with the dub. I'm just going to stick with the dub.
Yeah, the dub was really good. I really enjoyed the dub.
It was. It was funny because you would see a lot of recurrent voices that would be background characters. And you'd be like, yeah, they've been here before. No, that's a bad thing, but the voice for Dandy was spot on.
Yeah. So, like, a lot of people complained about QT's voice being auto-tuned, and I'm like, well, it's a robot.
See, I really liked that aspect of it. It felt right for the character.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I really liked it a lot, actually. Did you ever watch the dub at all, Brian?
Not a single bit. I was buying it off the Wack Anim site.
That's right, I forgot about that.
So, I had no call to watch the dub. Got it in lovely 1080 HD video files. But the thing is, I now love it so much, I may end up buying it on Blu-ray as well.
Oh, it's a must-buy. It's gotta be.
It's gonna be so expensive.
Like, yeah, that's the only thing. It's a lot cheaper to buy the files off Wacom.
It's gonna be about 40 quid.
Yeah.
Ooh, just for the 13?
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah. Yikes. Whereas I think I've paid about 17 quid, maybe, for...
It's already on pre-order on Amazon. I'll double check.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I mean, I would like to get it as a dual box set, and we're predicting the future here, which I imagine it will at one point, but with the second half, I would like to get it as a double box set, but
sorry.
I'm not paying 8 quid.
I got it completely wrong. For DVD, it's 36.
Oof! Goodness gracious!
For Blu-ray... The collector's Blu-ray set is £50.
What are you getting that? Bloody...
Don't know, they've not confirmed it yet.
QT's ringtone or something, I don't know. Meow's hat.
Well, of course they've not confirmed it yet. They've only just sort of, like, confirmed what's going to be in the Gurren Lagann thing, and that was supposed to come out next month.
Well, it's probably going to come out middle of August, which is why next time we do our preview episode, we're going to play the UK anime release sweepstakes, where I'm going to pick some forthcoming titles. And we'll try and guess when they're actually going to come out. So yes, Dandy is a dandy guy in space.
Pretty much. He's a buffoon.
His job is to hunt down aliens who haven't been registered. And if he brings them back to one of the registration offices, he can get paid money, depending on... Well, it's a bit hard. You can't really tell exactly, because I think... Is it only once they managed to get paid?
I'm trying to think.
I don't even remember that one time.
I don't think they get it in the end, you know?
No, episode 3 they do, because... Yeah, we'll get to it. Episode 3 they definitely get paid.
Oh, you're right. You are right, yeah. You're right.
So long ago, I don't
because
remember.
It's kind of Dandy and QT being super jerks at the end of that.
That's right. So really, surely if something's undiscovered, how do they gain a worth by how rare it is? Because surely if it's not discovered, it's not discovered.
Exactly. Well, maybe it's like how different they are from something which already exists. Because in the first episode, they think that Meow is an undiscovered variant of the Beetlejuicians.
Yeah. Just, well, yeah.
But it turns out he's not. He's just a common old Beetlejuician. So yes, Dandy is this guy who hunts down aliens, pilots the Aloha Oi with Cutie, and his favourite thing to do is to go to these restaurants called Boobies.
Restaurants.
Yes, yeah, restaurants.
Amazing line.
Cutie is a vacuum cleaner, pretty yeah. much, who's sort of got a almost obsessive compulsive disorder with cleaning the spaceship up. Seems to be the one sensible character, but even then isn't that sensible. It's just compared to Dandy and Meow. It's perhaps the brains of the operation.
Well, that's a scary thought.
And Meow is basically this otaku cat who in most episodes will claim that he knows the location of one of these phantom aliens, and that will cause them to head to that location and get in some sort of adventure.
Because that's how he's paying his way. He's claiming that he can lead them to all these mysterious places and whatnot.
And then I would say the fourth main character is probably the narrator.
Yeah.
Definitely got at least a recurring role.
Yeah.
Who occasionally gets exasperated with the main characters. Mm-hmm. At least one occasion has to explain the plot to them.
He knows what's going down.
And in another episode actually gets affected by what's going on in the plot. And there's one member of the Boobies staff who recurs, which is Honey.
Is that the blonde?
Figures.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
She's getting figures, which is really weird because she's not an important character.
Well, she's not an important character yet. I think various creators have hinted that there's more to her than...
It makes sense since she was in like the opening credits and stuff, and there's literally no reason for her to be there.
And obviously there's more to her than there are Dandy, Cutie, and Meow. Then there's Scarlet, who seems to be the only staff member at the Space Alien Registration Centres they come across. and then there are a group of people from the Golgol Empire who are at war with, what's the name of the other empire there?
Oh, that is a, you're asking there. Jesus Christ. I can't even remember.
It begins with V, I know that. It doesn't. It begins with J. It's Jycrow. Because Jycrow Empire's ships look like those ships out of Dune. Except to look even more like mustaches. whereas this one particular Golgol Empire ship we see repeatedly is the Statue of Liberty with a bull gag in its mouth.
Pretty bizarre.
And that is piloted by Dr. Jell. Is that how they pronounce it in the dub? Who is this ape-like man? Voiced by the same guy who played Jet Black in Cowboy Bebop and looks a bit like
Because I remember saying he's got the burned, he's got the facial hair, as close he could be. So.
Yeah, it is Unshow Ishizuka again. Who is pursuing Dandy because they need, apparently the Golgol Empire need to get hold of Dandy in order to...
Is it to win the war?
I believe so. It's a key to the future of the universe. His boss, Admiral Perry, explains to him.
He's like Ghost Rider and Inferno Cop.
Yeah.
He's basically a flaming skull.
Yeah, and Dr. Gale's also got his assistant, B, who's this little bean, sort of bean-headed alien in a lab coat. And they don't have much luck catching Dandy. I think it's safe to say.
I've got pretty bad luck when it comes to catching the stupidest person in the universe.
I don't feel like they have... I don't know whether I want them to have a bigger part, because if I was to pick my least favourite section, it would be things surrounding those characters. I know they do have an impact on the story at times, but whenever I see that Statue of Liberty head, it's like, right, here we go. I just want to go back to Dandy.
I know the feeling.
Maybe that's the effect where they're just literally, that's all they're going to be, these weird characters that may add to the plot. And so
I reckon they'll have like a bigger importance in season two, you know? Because we haven't really learnt who the boss is. Like, he's just some guy that's there, so.
Well, I've got a theory about season two, which I'm sure won't happen, but I'd almost like it to happen just to see how pissed off people who were already annoyed at Space Dandy was about. Because, I'll get to that in the end. Let's go to the episode one, which is Live with the Flow, Baby, which is where we meet all our characters for the first time, as Dandy tries to turn in Meow as a phantom alien.
Because he has a little sticker on his cheek. I can't remember how he gets it. Is it whether they've drank a shot of this tequila? I don't know why I've got tequila on the brain with this. It's something that they've been drinking in the Boobies restaurant with.
It was when they had a can of Four Loko.
Yeah. Oh, God. I'd be covered in the stickers.
Yeah, so the first... Yeah. The first half... So a lot of these episodes, despite being one story, often break down into two halves where the tone can be significantly different. The first half is them pursuing Meow. And then Meow convinces them that he knows where there's an alien. And things go very badly. When everybody dies.
Oh, God, what a crazy moment.
How shocked were you at the end of that episode for the first time you saw it? That it was just like, everybody got blown up and it was the end.
I think my reaction was just, right? Is the rest of the series like a prequel to this? I don't know what's gonna happen. Like, this makes no sense.
For a second, I thought they were gonna die at the end of every episode. Like, I felt like they could do anything after watching 50 minutes of this, and I wouldn't be shocked. in a sense, and killing them off was just, it's very mundane to watch kind of crazy stuff happens later on in the series, so. But yeah, I thought it was gonna die at every episode, or this was gonna kinda, like, as Abby says, the rest was gonna be a prequel to this, and.
Or they could have done like a JoJo's and just, you know.
That's a Space Dandy 2. Space Dandy's grandson. Now, on the dub, do you get the ending theme?
Not at this point.
Dubbed or subtitled at all?
No, not at this point. If I recall correctly, for the first maybe four or five episodes, it's a different theme.
Really?
Yeah, it's they have, different imagery as well to the end and 100%. We had a different intro at this point as well.
Did we?
Were you watching the dub one on the stream or were you downloading the Adult Swim one?
It was legit Adult Swim downloads.
Okay, right. I know the Adult Swim one had different themes on it, but.
Right, because I was watching it on Wackenim and I don't remember there ever being something different.
No.
Well, I guess.
So if you'd watched it legally, Anthony, you would have had that problem. But you would have the problem that they didn't translate the lyrics of the ending theme. And I only saw that today, and I was like, well, that explains everything.
So can you give us a...
Yeah, so it goes, "Hey Everett, what am I like in your world? Let me take a peek. Hey Everett, according to you, there are lots of different worlds. I'm not sure I understand. Nya, 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 nya. Hi, Dandy. Nya, 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 nya. Hello. Nya, 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 nya. How are you doing? Nya, 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 nya. Hey, PhD, the alternate worlds will always be parallel. It's enough to blow my mind." Yeah, and then he basically is talking about alternate worlds, and the Everett it's talking about is Hugh Everett III, who is a quantum physics expert, who brought up the many worlds theory of alternate universes. And he also believed in quantum immortality.
That's impressive.
Yeah, so once you know, even the ending theme is basically saying, this is about alternate worlds, parallel worlds. And then that explains
that makes a lot more
the
sense
entire
now.
Series. And then the quantum immortality thing, when you know about... I hadn't read that Hugh Everett guy, by the way, is the father of the...
Mark Oliver Everett.
The Eels guy.
Eel.
E from Eels. You know the band, remember the band Eels? They're still going.
Before my time, really. I think.
It still is your time. they are still going.
1995 to present day.
Mm. Yeah, it's during that.
Oh, Novocaine for the Soul.
Yes.
I know that song. Yeah. Good song.
And apparently he did a documentary for the BBC about his dad.
Oh, interesting. See, that's pretty fascinating to think that, you know, it's slightly more than just nonsense.
Yes.
There's a little bit extras to it. But speaking of the English, the intro, I'd say Adult Swim or whoever did it, try to make it as Cowboy Bebop-like as possible.
Oh, really?
It's all jazz, and it's obviously very different to the Japanese one, which I much prefer the Japanese one, but it feels like it's like, right, we need to try and make Bebop fans be like, yeah, we're nearly there with this. And it kind of does the job, and I first watched it, I was like, oh, but jazz.
Whereas, yeah, the Japanese one, you get two themes, basically. You get the introduction bit with Star Future, and then the main theme kicks in.
Can I just say, I really like the OP. I think it's amazing.
Oh, it's great. It is good.
Anything else to say about... Oh, yeah, I've got one more thing. Yeah, because this one is where halfway through they use their warp drive, which is broken, and they end up in between space, and Dandy pulls on a cosmic string. Which
is that on this episode? Oh,
this
yes,
is the very
is,
first
course,
episode,
yeah.
Which I don't know whether that's going to turn out to be why
they're in this many worlds and stuff.
Yeah, we get all these different variations of Dandy's existence, or whether this is the power Dandy's that they're after.
Oh, of course, yes. Does that mean only the Aloha Oi has the ability to kind of die and live on in a different, like, universe? Or does everyone else, if they die, will they?
Well, I guess they must do, because in other episodes, other characters die at the end.
And don't come back.
And then come back to the very next episode.
Ah, okay. Yeah, okay.
So I'm thinking everybody has at some point. Because in this one... Except Hoodie and Scarlet. I think everybody has died during the series.
Has Dr. Gel died?
Yeah, they all get sucked into a black hole at one point.
Oh, yeah.
I don't think there's much surviving that. And he's gone mad numerous times as well.
You know, it makes so much more sense now. I'm just thinking about it. Everything makes a lot more sense to me.
It was already great. And then it just got better.
Well, it didn't need to make sense, because I just took it as like an episodic thing that was just a bit wacky, but now it makes sense, because I didn't know that before.
Yeah, and something I didn't know until today. It was like, I was just looking stuff up, and I was like, oh, there's a translation of the ending theme. I was like, well, you could have told me that before.
So it never, on the Wakaname one, it never had the translation?
No, I think often they can't translate the songs, because they'd have to pay separate publishing...
Okay.
Fees and stuff.
Yeah. I want to mention something before we progress. Obviously, it's a long-running thing with the whole boobies thing. And at first, I remember a friend come to me who I'd recommend this to, and he said, you know what? I hope they don't go crazy with this boobies thing. How wrong he was. But with that said, he came back. I went back to him in a few episodes' time, and I was like, well, they do it well, though. And he agreed. They managed to make... the joke that repeats itself all the time, funny every time.
Mm.
I don't know how, whether it's the way it's delivered or the kind of time between jokes, like the pacing of it and delivery, but it manages to just work every time.
I was actually quite surprised that I found it funny, because I'm not one for Japanese humour.
Mm.
Like, I feel like it's a very specific sort of humour, and it wasn't... my favourite thing. It's never been my favourite thing, but Space Dandy just did it really well, and I always thought it was quite funny. But I don't know if that's because of the dub, or...
Yeah, true.
The way that they translated it, or whatever, but... Just point out.
I'd love to go to a boobies restaurant. The food looks great. Like, joking aside, the food and the drinks look top-notch. Top-notch. A cut above the breast. I mean, rest.
Siri, anything else you want to bring up about this episode?
What a way to start the series. And I like, because I knew so many people were like, oh, it's not like Cowboy Bebop. And I was like, yep, deal with it or don't watch it.
Well, if you want something like Cowboy Bebop, just watch Cowboy Bebop again.
Agreed, and it's easy done, as we well know.
I think part of the problem is that Dandy is... Yeah, he's got the same macho bravado that Spike has, but without any of the cool that Spike has. Particularly in
hey, there's a later episode where he's awesome.
Well,
he's always there. Fun.
There's the bit... There's a bit in this first episode where he's shooting and shooting and shooting, hits nothing, then goes to holster his weapon and it misses the holster as well. Which pretty much sums him up.
I don't know, there's a bit where he's surfing in space, that's awesome.
That's true, yes. Oh, my favourite gag is actually probably this episode with the really long beam down to the planet, which takes half an hour.
What beam down?
They've got the,
oh, yeah,
they've
of
got
course.
The beam down to the planet, which, yeah, unfortunately it takes half an hour, so they're just like standing there waiting for their molecules to make their way to the planet. And that episode was by Shingo Natsumi, the main director, and written by Shinichiro Watanabe. Then episode 2 was Search for the Phantom Space Ramen Baby.
Yes.
Possibly a favourite of mine?
It's in my top 3.
Oh, I didn't think doing lists.
It's in my top 4. It's in my top 4.
It's in my top 13 somewhere.
I was going to say, yeah. I know which one's at the bottom. I'm not sure I can rearrange the other ones.
I hope you're on the same wavelength as me.
No, I don't think I am.
Oh, no.
So, in this episode, Meow has another hot tip about a phantom ramen made by an undiscovered species. So they spend the entire episode going from ramen stand to ramen stand while Dr. Gel is trying to pursue them using Google Street View and the fact that Meow keeps on checking into whatever.
He's like tweeting images.
Version of Foursquare, yeah, that he's using.
Oh, God. And he doesn't have a clue. Doesn't have a clue.
I think this is the closest Gel gets to capturing Dandy that men actually make contact with him.
Let's see. Is this where we first get reduced to Scarlet properly?
Yes, it is, yeah.
Ah, right. Because at this point I was like, oh, she's going to be like the Fae Valentine. She's going to join the crew. I know she is. Nope. No.
No, of course not. Can you imagine a woman spending her time with those three? On a ship.
I know, it wouldn't work. Not in the same way Spike and, like, obviously Fiona. I don't want to make comparisons or contrasts, but, yeah, it wouldn't have worked. So I'm pleased it didn't. Definitely.
And then eventually they go to the restaurant which serves this ramen, and there's a dimensional warp in the restaurant which they fall into.
Do they fall in, or do they just climb in?
I can't remember exactly.
Or does the restaurant get attacked and they end up falling in that way or trying to escape through the oven that the portal's with?
I think you might be able to end up somehow. Yes. There's a way to check, which is for me to actually play the episode. But and then they meet the alien who's making it and he gives them their story.
Oh, and it's so sad. It's so nice. Because he's been doing that for how many years? I should have wrote down how many years. But
well, centuries it must be. Because he appears to have visited Earth in modern day to learn how to make ramen. Because he used to be like a bad boy Bamcho motorcycle gang.
But he's just been there ever since.
Oh, so, yeah, it's a wormhole they go through, which is in the... Yeah, they're fighting...
Is it Gel's men that just come and manage to finally track them down? That makes sense.
Yeah, it's, so he's fighting with the staff. I can't remember why.
Oh, is it because he refuses to pay or he doesn't have enough money to pay?
Oh, no, they're trying to get into the oven.
Oh, so they just admittedly, we need to get in.
And then the oven sucks them in after he kicks it. Yeah. Play-by-play on Space Dandy.
I know, it's tough because it feels like a long time ago.
Well,
but it's really not.
It's weird not. We didn't rewatch it. Well, there's one episode I watched, because I'd held off watching the last episode before the podcast, so at least I had one which was totally fresh in my mind.
I couldn't have waited that long. No way. But yeah, it's a sad moment, that, especially the fact
that Meow doesn't get to eat the ramen either.
What's that?
Meow doesn't get to eat his ramen.
I know, because it's meant to be amazing, and apparently it doesn't lose the taste. It goes through, like, it doesn't taste as nice.
Good, yeah.
Yeah, so it's still top-notch stuff, but not quite as good. But obviously the joke is they forget to bring the alien through. They more care more about the ramen. Which is sad, because he's just stuck there, cooking for a living.
I thought the alien chose to stay there.
I'm sure he doesn't want to go. I'm sure he's just there, just being idiots. Because I don't think they even tell that they've come to get him registered and stuff, if I remember correctly. But as usual, yeah, it's them just being oblivious to what's going on around them. Which I think is the general theme, is like these big science fiction ideas going on, and unfortunately the three leads are a bunch of boneheads.
Well, a good point to like demonstrate that would be where it's like, oh, there's this big war going on, and then their ship like floats past the front of the screen, just not anything to do with it.
Oh. A little hot, aren't
you? Anything else you want to bring up from this episode?
I wish it I could remember what ramen. To discuss. Yes, that as well. Interdimensional ramen would have been nice.
And there was a lot of puns from the various ramen shops they visited as well.
Were there?
Yeah. At least in the Japanese one, they had them all subtitled to explain what all the puns were.
Oh, we didn't get that.
That's disappointing.
We've probably got an Adult Swim ad in the bottom. Archer season, whatever.
It's not an Adult Swim.
Is it not? Oh. Oh, well.
It's on FX, or is it FXX now? I can't remember.
I don't know. I don't like Archer.
It's on Netflix. You don't like Archer? It's a completely different podcast. Then episode 3 is Occasionally Even the Deceiver is Deceived, Baby.
This monster of an episode.
Directed by... Oh, yeah, should go. The last episode was directed by Seo Yamamoto, who did A Woman Called Fujiko Mine and Michiko and Hachin. And written by Dai Sato, who wrote Eureka 7 and a few Cowboy Bebop episodes and various other stuff.
Mainly the funny Bebop episodes, if I recall.
It was all the cyberpunk one. It was all the ones
I thought he did Mushroom Samba. No. You're right. He did the chess one.
Yeah.
Brain Scratch.
And the Ed one. The Ed introduction one.
That's correct, yeah. My bad.
Anything to do with hacking seemed to be him. Yes.
That you wrote about Roth.
This one is by, Occasionally Even the Deceiver is Deceived, Baby is directed by Hiroshi Hamasaki, who directed Steins Gate and Iron Man.
No.
Rise of the Technobore, yes.
Technobore.
Well, the director of the entire show worked on that as well.
He must have been doing that in his spare time, going home between...
let's be fair, Rise of the Technobore looks great.
It did.
It's just a really boring story.
It did, and terrible voice acting.
That is true.
His fault.
We're going to have to do the Black Widow and Punisher one, though. I hear that's better.
Wants to be.
Can't be any worse.
No, it can't. Yeah, we should do that.
And it is written by Kimiko Ueno, she's written the most amount of episodes of Space Dandy. The main thing she's known for before this is Kuro Meijo-san Gatoro, which is like a magical girl show, which one seemed to talk about.
I've never even heard of it, to be honest.
Here Comes the Black Witch. It's based on a children's novel series.
Is it a comedy? Like,
I think I watched I've got the first episode somewhere, but I haven't watched it at all. Yes, it is a comedy. Yes, this episode is about Dandy trying to redeem a expired points card, a nearly expired points card at Boobies. And unfortunately, they use their warp drive again. Which means they ended up somewhere completely different, where they meet a beautiful woman called Mamitas.
Please, you've got the names wrote down, because I genuinely can't remember those names. Jesus.
Yeah, she had crash landed and she wants to invites Dandy to repair their ship with hers and help her get off the planet.
She's being chased by these gruesome, grotesque aliens.
Yes.
That are quite scary, actually.
But they aren't the scariest thing on the planet.
They're not. They're not.
And this is the one episode where they managed to, at least I recall, they managed to register an alien at the registration centre.
See, I can't remember how they managed to register.
Well, you see...
Because I'm sure...
Spoilers. Babitas is actually a Deathgurian? Deathgurian?
Something.
She's a giant...
Feared by everything, even Dr. Yes. Jell.
Yes. And she eats Meow. And then this is the first time we get to see Little Aloha, the small cruiser ship which turns into a robot.
With a Hawaiian shirt on.
Yes.
Which was awesome.
It is. Oh.
They beat it by feeding it the off food from their spaceship.
Don't they order like a bunch of stuff out of a catalogue or something that was dirt cheap?
Isn't it loads of, like, old...
By the time it gets delivered.
Yeah.
Or something.
That's right. And it's just all over the ship.
Yeah. That's
correct. See, I thought the alien exploded at this point.
It shrinks back down, and then the shrunken one they take and register.
When it's in the female form.
Yeah.
Is it? Yes.
Is it in the female? No, it's just tiny. It's just like a tiny version of the monster.
Oh.
And then they celebrate about all the money they've accrued, completely forgetting that Meow had been eaten in the first place.
To be fair, Meow's pretty crap at being a character, so I don't blame them.
Oh, is that a hate for Meow?
I don't like Meow that much.
He's great.
He's no Dandy.
He's got some of the best episodes surrounding him and his...
Yeah, but he's no Dandy, I'm just saying.
He's no Dandy, he's no QT. They're no
exactly,
Meow.
Therefore he's the worst one.
I don't know how I feel about that. I don't... Dr. Jell's the worst one. Yeah, I'm going to throw an additional spanner. I think this is the most... Not that I'm a big sci-fi connoisseur in terms of like novelization and different stories, like classic stories, but I always associate weird sci-fi worlds where they go there's a woman, and the woman's an alien. That's got to be a recurring thing in sci-fi stories.
Probably.
Yeah.
Am I right with this, Brian?
I think you're probably right. It's more than sci-fi. It goes back to sort of ancient myths, isn't it?
I'm drawn this thought from something that I've seen, and I've seen it in a recurring like plot device. And for me, I think it's probably the most kind of nod to old school sci-fi stuff because of that.
Mm. Do you get the narration at the start of each episode with Dandy, Cutie, and Meow in the sort of old, sort of 1930s pulp covers parodies?
Yes, yes. I had to think there.
Yeah.
Yes, you do.
I hadn't realised someone pointed out that in the first episode, Meow's not in those scenes because he hasn't joined yet in the introduction.
Oh.
But then later on, apparently, he's added.
Very good, very good. Don't forget that when the monster transforms, it's a boob monster.
That is true, yes.
It's a big part of the...
This was the thing that made me think, because a lot of people were saying, oh, this is going to be such a good anime for people to like get into anime, because it's getting a dub straight away. This was the episode that made me think, not true.
You weren't that's not true at you all. You weren't around in the 90s, Emmy. This is what boobs in anime were what got people into anime back in the day.
I
just think this would be one of those things that if I showed it to someone who didn't know really what anime was, and I'm like, oh, here's this episode of anime or whatever, they'd be like, yeah, it's some weird Japanese stuff, isn't it?
to be honest, if I wanted to win someone over, I think there's a very small amount of these episodes I'd show.
I think I can think of two.
I might show a couple. I'm thinking of a couple. Definitely the next one.
But yeah, but people liked it, so...
Oh, I loved it.
The people who didn't like it are the already existing anime fans who demand every anime they've watched to have a serial storyline running through it.
Go on, do it, Brian. See, they're idiots. Aren't you?
They are.
They're idiots.
They are morons. So, yes, in this episode, obviously, Meow appeared to have died.
Oh, no.
As we've established, the theory's cracked, he will be back.
And talking of people dying, in episode 4, yes, Meow is back. And it is Sometimes You Can't Live With Dying, Baby, directed by Ikuru Sato and written by Kimiko Ueno again. Mm. And Ikuru Sato is known for, if anything, he did 7 episodes of Cowboy Bebop.
Oh, just a little thing then.
Yes, that's probably why he's here. So, this episode involves zombies.
Ooh.
They capture what they think is a phantom alien, and it turns out just to be a zombie version of an already existing alien, which bites Meow. They think he's ill, so they take him to hospital. They leave him there. The next day, they come back, and everybody's a zombie. And then, at that point, Dr. Chell's got that, like, commando team that's put together.
Oh. See, this is why you need to watch the dub, Brian, because those bounty hunter, mercenary, whatever you want to call them, they're voiced by Scottish people.
Is that right?
So when they turn up and they're just speaking...
Are you sure they're voiced by Scottish people or they're voiced by people doing Scottish accents?
Ah, maybe even the better. That's even better. See, hearing people doing a Scottish voice is better than a Scottish person doing their voice. Yeah. It's very good.
And then eventually by halfway through the episode, everybody has been turned into a zombie.
Literally.
Pretty much. And the zombie they originally caught tells them that rather than eating meat, they should eat yogurt to preserve their bodies.
And isn't there like a weird... I forget how this bit ties in, but some like sniper turns up.
Oh, that's in the second half of the episode with what happens when more and more people are becoming zombies. And they start claiming on their life insurance. And so the insurance companies hire snipers to shoot zombies in the head so they can get the money back off them.
God.
But eventually...
They end up getting bitten.
Yeah, they get bitten. And then by the end of the episode, everybody, including the narrator, has been turned into a zombie.
And everybody lives happily in theory. There's no war, there's no conflict.
Everybody eats yogurt and lives forever.
Yeah. What a world.
Yeah, I like this episode a lot. I like the yogurt bit. I just like the idea that the zombies get wise enough that they need to preserve their bodies rather than just feasting on brains.
Yeah, it was definitely a different take on zombies, which I quite appreciated.
And I like the life insurance bit as well with this.
That was quite funny, yeah.
I remember Twitter actually absolutely blowing up over this episode. Like, people I followed on Twitter, like, oh, yes, the best. Because I watched it the day after I should have done, so I was a little bit late, and I was worried in case it got spoiled, and it's a good, damn good episode. Damn good episode.
Pretty much always got spoiled for me, because I follow a bunch of people who watched it on TV in America, which was obviously before we got it.
Yeah. Spoilers.
Jerk.
I know.
We do know that your enjoyments of things go up if you're spoiled.
I don't think that's true.
Do you know? You're going to disagree with those scientists who did that research?
Yep.
Okay, right, fair
enough. I did that research! I've mentioned this before, I did the big assignment at uni!
Well, I'm going to disagree with you two.
Well, no, I wasn't all...
You weren't doing it on a psychological... You weren't testing people psychologically. Your degree was not based on psychology, was it?
It's not. It was based on something far more important.
You being a weirdo who hates spoilers.
Yeah. Right. But I looked at both sides of the coin, but that's for another episode. Oh, no, it's not actually. It's not for anything. It's just,
no, we'd never do an episode awful. On that. Anything else you want to bring up about these zombies?
QT becomes a zombie.
Oh, yes.
Robots are zombie capable. I don't know what the word is. But yeah, that's great. That's great.
When the bounce to infection. How's that? Makes it sound more intelligent, don't we?
I love this episode.
Okay.
One of my favourites. Again, in my top 4.
Yeah.
I'd have to think about top 3. I'm not sure.
I've just got a few that's going to be number 1. Well, I'm going to decide as this episode goes on. But
okay.
I'm sort of stuck between number 3 being episode 2 or episode 4. And then I think the rest I've got sort of been in order. The other two.
I didn't know that. Is that your final dandy? Right, no.
Oh, awful.
Okay, A Merry Companion is a Wagon in Space Baby is episode 5, directed by Akemi Hayashi, who mainly episode direction. The most recent thing I saw was an episode of Penguin Drum. And written by Ichiro Okuchi, who this is the only episode they did, and they've written all sorts of things, from Azumanga Daioh to being responsible for Valve Rave the Liberator.
Oh, that thing. Was that the thing that turned out to be vampires or something?
Yes. That's the one you missed that you didn't watch after the credits to discover that they were vampires.
I don't do after credits. I did with this show, funnily enough. I want as much content as possible.
And this is my least favourite episode.
This is my number one.
What? This is so standard anime. Even though it involves Dandy getting his brain transported into a soft toy pig.
I think that's why I liked it, because it was so the same as everything else, but different to everything else in Space Dandy.
I love
this episode.
This is the Lupin the Third TV special episode.
I don't know, I liked that they kind of opened the lid on Dandy. I don't know whether they needed to, but they're like, you know, this guy is a nice guy, he's got a heart, and...
This was the thing, I didn't actually like Dandy all that much until this episode. And then I was like, Dandy's awesome, I don't know what I was thinking.
I like this.
I like that episode a lot.
Well, anyway, so in this he has to transport a young girl who is a Gentuan alien.
I'll just say, I forgot the race.
Sure.
Yeah, he's trying to deliver her to the registration centre. But she convinces him to take her to meet her grandfather.
Who's not there.
And so they end up... They end up on this journey, which eventually they all meet up at the end. And it's all...
Did you mention what her power was?
Oh, yes, you can transfer people's minds into puppets.
Yeah.
That's
and
a cool
then she
power.
Will draw on their face. So, I remember at the very beginning, obviously these bounty... Well, I keep calling them bounty hunters. These alien hunters, they nearly capture, they get transferred over into whatever, and there's all these photographs of them with, like, doodles on the faces and stuff. It's a scary... Like, what would happen if she killed the body? It could have been a very dark episode. Imagine that.
But it wasn't.
It's not, no, it's far from it. Far, far from it. I just like the idea at the end where Dandy says, look, when you grow up, you can come and join the crew. I was like, no, we'll let her join now!
She hasn't got big enough boobs yet, so he's not interested.
That's true. That's very true.
I wonder if she had joined though. She wouldn't have been in episode 6 onwards though, would she?
No, probably not, no.
No. It wouldn't have worked, they did the right thing in not letting her join yet. Until she's attractive when she's older.
I sort of hope she comes back in season 2.
Oh, imagine a time skip episode.
Oh yeah.
Old Dandy.
You've got to have a time skip episode. Episode 7, where he ends up several billion years in the future.
Oh yeah. Yeah, that's as big of a time skip as you can get.
But yeah, this one didn't interest me all that much.
I'm surprised you say that. I mean, I can get where you're coming from where it is very generic.
It's not bad. It's still a good episode, but compared
to... Yeah, saying
it's
the worst episode of Space Dandy.
Yes.
Is still sort of a compliment.
Ooh, this next one's the worst. Just...
What?
Yes, oh, see, Brian.
Okay, the next episode is The War of the Undies and the Vests, Baby, directed by Michihiro Mihara, who also was the animation supervisor, and also wrote the story. And Dai Sato wrote the screenplay. Mihara works on loads of Masaki Yuasa shows, and he was the character designer for Kickheart, and often he'll do a solo episode. Like this, where he tries to do as much as everything as he can on his own. And this episode involves them getting involved in a civil war between Undi aliens and Vestian aliens. They get split up. Luckily, Meow is captured by the Vestian alien, and Dandy is captured by the Undi alien, while they're only wearing an underwear and a vest, so they're not killed for being infidels. Apparently, they've been in war for 10,000 years, because the Undies don't like vests, and the Vestians do not like underpants. And these are the only two...
premise to an episode ever.
Yeah, these are the only two members left of the races. Dandy and Meow convince them to sign a peace treaty, but apparently under galactic law, when a peace treaty is signed, each person has to give up the thing which they prize the most. And in this case, it is their vest and pants. And infuriated at this, they basically destroy the moon they're on with weapons of mass destruction. But luckily, Dandy and Meow escape on a surfboard.
Oh, that bit. That's great. That's fine. That's fine.
I love the scene in this one where the Undi alien is trying to put on the vest and the Vestian is trying to put on the underwear. Because that's one of the most memorable things from the show for me, because it was just so funny. Like, it was animated so well.
You know what I remember about this episode? They don't go to boobies. That's how bad it is. They don't even go to might as well have been a bloody Sailor Moon episode. It's that different. They don't even go to bloody boobies. No, I don't hate it. I just felt, after all, like, you know, the previous five episodes, we get booby jokes all the time. This fresh joke of undies and vests just wore thin so quick with me. So quick. I like the end where it's like, you know, it's almost quite depressing that they, you know, because are they the exact same race of alien, but they just so happen to...
I would imagine they must be similarly.
Yeah. So it's a sad climax.
Yeah, because one's got like three sprouts coming out the top of their heads, and the other one has two sprouts coming out the top of their head. So they must be of similar origins. And they've just...
I remember a great little fight scene in this.
Oh yeah, it's pretty great.
There's some nice animation with the fighting and stuff, but...
And it makes up for all the boobies stuff with having Dandy in his pants for most of the episode.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not awful. I just think, you know, I've got to pick a weak one, and for me, this is the weak one. And this is your favourite, Brian.
I'm not sure it's my favourite, but I like it a lot more than I like the previous episode.
That's fair.
I think go watch it again. I'm sure you might appreciate it more.
Yeah.
You might appreciate it more. Anything else you want to bring up about this episode? Apart from Anthony being... You want to be some wrong some more, Anthony?
No. Don't get me wrong. I don't hate on it. It's not Millennium Actress all over again. I don't know. Don't forget Meow is getting fed to death.
No, wrong episode.
It's not. Oh, yes, it is. Of course it is. Oh, I just nearly broke my chair there. Shit. Oh, God. Yeah, I'm just all kinds and shapes of wrong here.
And that's the other episode directed by somebody who works on a lot of Masaki Yuasa shows. And also has two separate tribes of aliens on the planet.
Will we get there, I tell you. Oof.
We will. Okay, next episode is A Race in Space is Dangerous, Baby. Directed by So Toyama, who works on a lot of OLM stuff, like Pokemon and Danball Senki. And written by Kimiko Ueno again. And this is
my least favourite episode.
What? Madness.
I was going to say, this is probably in my top three. This is Wacky Races.
Mm-hmm.
With the Space Dandy crew. And we get a... what's the word?
Penetration scene?
No, that wasn't what I was thinking of. I was thinking of like a mirror image set of characters to Dandy. With Prince and his robot Z and his rat alien lawyer Squeak.
This episode was what made me realise that the character designs are really good, because they've the same character designer worked on Star Driver, and Prince looks so similar to Tacto from Star Driver. He just has long blue hair instead of red short hair. And it's awesome. Just, that was the best thing.
That's the best thing about this amazing episode.
Oh, yep. I just like the fact that every time Dandy takes the lead, it's because something has blown up on his spaceship.
I think I was just too uneducated to enjoy this episode, because I just thought it was a massive Redline reference, so I was like, okay.
I think the blowing up to take the lead bit may well be a Redline reference, because they may be taking the mickey out of that slightly. But yeah, all the other stuff with like the Wacky Races type competitors.
Oh, it's great.
I honestly hadn't made the comparison to Wacky Races, so I might go and rewatch it with that in mind.
I think I could show anyone this episode. I think they would appreciate it. Except Ebby, clearly.
Sorry.
I've just got one sentence written down, and that is the space race where Dandy gets penetrated.
Is it the prince?
I thought
Dandy penetrated the prince.
And then he fell in love with Dandy.
And not the other way around. And then they got blown. The pair of them got sent into the future.
Yeah. Isn't it like a weird Buddha Dandy?
Yes. That's what he's wandering in the future and discovers a statue of himself.
It's crazy.
It is Prince.
But I remember creasing at that last moment. I think, yeah, you're right. Dandy does crash at the back of the... What's his name in it again?
I think he's just called Prince.
I think it's a great episode. There's not a great deal to say other than it's one of those where you've literally got to watch it to...
It has all those eye catches as well. Like, constantly going... Like, scene transitions are almost always like another eye catch. As opposed to the normal just one advertising break eye catch. Which gives it a slightly different look to the other episodes as well. But yeah, I enjoy that one a lot. That's probably in my top three.
I don't know. It's not my number... Yeah, it's not near me tops.
Yeah, I'm not sure. I'll think about it at the end. Next we've got The Lonely Pooch Planet Baby. Which is
perfect.
Directed by, and animation supervisor by Hiroshi Shimizu, who did a lot of work on Michiko and Hatchin. And written by Keiko Nobumoto, who was in charge of scripts on Cowboy Bebop.
Didn't this have a reference to Cowboy Bebop? It does, yes.
It has the big reference to Cowboy Bebop. They're on a sort of a planet which is full of trash. And they find a dog. Meow finds the fridge from Cowboy Bebop.
Toys in the Attic?
Yeah, Toys in the Attic fridge. And gets attacked by the thing which is inside the fridge from that episode. Did they discard? I was trying to remember how they discarded that. Did they chuck it through a gate? Or do they just chuck it into deep space?
Oh, it goes into deep space.
Okay, I wasn't sure whether if it had gone into a gate, I'd have made more of a connection with. So I kind of want it to turn out that Dandy's responsible for the moon blowing up in Cowboy Bebop somehow due to the weird effect he has on warp drives.
That would just be. I don't know how I would feel. I think I would have to lay it down. Spoilers for Cowboy Bebop, but I would have to lay it down, that's for sure. I don't know if I'd want to believe it, but I don't know if I wouldn't want to believe it at that point. Oh, poor fear.
So yeah, they find a dog who Dandy makes friends with, calling her Pup, and then she sadly dies.
Oh, it's so sad.
And it's basically hinted heavily that this is the dog, Laika, who was sent into space. In the mid-20th century.
And there's another little plot going on.
There is. The second half of the episode involves the two fleas who look like Micro-Men toys who are living on the dog's fur, land on Meow, and then they get up to all sorts of mischief on the spaceship.
I didn't click early on that they were... Obviously, I get it towards the end, but at first... I didn't realise that they were minuscule and actually on the dog's body.
No, they don't... It's not drastically
obvious until...
It's not signposted.
No. There's one bit, I forget where it is, whether it's getting the dog's getting water sprayed on it or something.
Okay, I think it's like they think the world... They know the dog's dying, so they're looking for It's like they've got to abandon their home and find a new home, which turns out to be Meow.
And Dandy steps on one of them.
Yeah, they inadvertently kill the pair of them, which then causes the planet to explode.
Because are they holding the planet together in some way?
Yes, they are. It prevents it from turning into a black hole. And Dandy escapes, and then Dr. Jell arrives to capture Dandy and gets sucked into the black hole.
Oh, damn good episode.
Yeah, this is a pretty good episode. Did you cry at the first half of the episode with the dog? It's pretty hard. Pulling at your heartstrings pretty hard.
I think if I was to rewatch it, I'd probably be more inclined, even though I know what's going to happen.
Do you cry when the fleas got squashed?
Now that, on the other hand, yeah, no, of course not. Of course not.
How about you, Abby? What was your feelings about this episode?
I liked it. I don't remember too much about it, to be honest. I remember the dog. But I totally forgot about the fleas.
Oh, they're a great part.
No, it's just because they had, like, really good episodes after this. Mm. So I found this one sort of forgettable, in a way. I remembered the dog. I remembered the fridge. But that's about it.
I did like that the fleas looked like Microman toys. Their bodies, like that clear... clear plastic bodies they appear to have.
Oh, it's so ridiculous.
The next episode is Plants Are Living Things 2, baby. Directed by, how's my Korean? Not probably worse than my Japanese. Young Choi. And she also wrote the story, and she has worked on various assorted Masaki Yuasa gigs, such as Kick Heart.
Oh.
And the screenplay was by Shinichiro Watanabe. This is in my top three, I think.
Oh, even though I made that slip up earlier, because I think the slip up I made it about is probably just an afterthought for me with this episode.
So they go to this planet called Planta, inhabited solely by sentient plants, because Meow's got another hot tip. About a rare alien called Code D.
He's not wrong. He's definitely there.
The transport has been fixed, sort of. It works a lot faster this time. But unfortunately, it cannot send the people to the same location. And so Dandy ends up with the Vegims. And Meow is caught by the movies. So they go... Dandy goes through various sorts of tests to determine whether he's a plant or what he is, and then sort of is taken into the care of Dr. H and his daughter, 033H.
Oh.
And Meow is basically treated like veal. they're being fattened up by the movies. Does not seem to cotton on to the fact that he's being fattened up to be eaten.
No, he keeps going.
He does.
He keeps going. Doesn't know what his next meal's gonna be. They're not rich.
And it turns out that the Code D is actually a meteorite, which has caused the plants to become intelligent.
Oh, genius.
Horrible, horrible intelligence.
So depressing.
Yeah, because the Vegims kind of, well, Dr. H at least thinks, yes, they should probably remove the meteorite and become proper plants again. And his daughter appears to have some sort of crush on Space Dandy as well.
Oh.
Who doesn't? That's my question. Who doesn't?
Oh, it's so... I don't know. Watching this episode, I've never felt... I think it's my number one. At the time, I was like, what is going on? I really didn't have a clue, and then when it slowly starts to become apparent, it's heartbreaking to see, especially when the plants shrink down from this weird, like, cell-like, bizarre, like, just a shape, in a sense, to just a plant. It's so depressing, because you just feel attached to the daughter, especially. It's sad. It's perfect. It's exactly what I wanted from this.
Yeah, I think I'd probably put it I think it sneaks into number one for me just because it looks better than the other thing, which I might have been number one if its animation was quite as spectacular as this episode.
Oh, it's got a very distinctive, I don't know how, like, almost washed out. It's, I don't know how to even describe it.
And it's also, they got very organic. It looks like an alien planet where the aliens were plants.
Mm, yeah. I seem to remember viewing it as if it's like through a lens. I'm sure I remember very weird like angles and, you know, looking on from afar. It's great.
Ebby, what about you? What do you think?
I liked it definitely more than the episode previous to this. But again, I don't remember too much about it for some reason. I don't know why. So I don't really have too much to say on it, because for some reason I don't remember this episode all that much.
Federal microbes.
Part of me really wanted them. I was like, leave Code D where it is. Just let them be the self-sufficient planet. Because it's not just like they're clever and, you know, they can speak and talk and do stuff. It's like a huge kind of civilization with, like, politics going on from what I can gather.
Well, I think that's
security.
Exactly. I think that's why they think, that's why Dr. H probably thinks they're better off being plants rather than being intelligent.
Such a great, like, sci-fi story.
Yeah.
On its own, never mind in this setting.
And it stops the movies from making meow, foie, gras, meow, foie is hard, yes.
I think Abby would have liked him killed off.
Yeah. I really would have.
He would have been back in the next episode.
He would have been back in the next episode, and if he wasn't, they'd have, like, no reason for this episode to happen.
Is this your favourite, Abby?
Well.
Is that what you lean towards?
Episode 10, next up, is There's Always Tomorrow, Baby. Directed by Masayuki Miyagi, who did that... was it straight to Sony? Or was it straight to Xbox? No, straight to Xbox, wasn't it? Zammed. It was like a digital anime.
That show sucks.
I've not seen it, but the animation I've seen of it looks good. And again, written.
The animation is good, but the show's horrible. It's really bad.
Kimiko Ueno wrote it again. Oh, and I'm losing my voice. Where's my drink? Where's my drink? My voice.
A stiff whiskey.
So this is, Groundhog Day with cats. On Beetlejuice. They go back to Meow's home planet after the Aloha Oi gets damaged, and Meow is not happy to be back home because he finds it boring.
No.
As opposed to the exciting life he leads in the other episodes of just staring at his smartphone for most of the episode. We meet Meow's family, and the calendar in Meow's house gets shot by a blast from a battle
Ionium,
which is going on nearby. Yes, which comes up again in a later episode. Between the Golgo and the Jai Crow, which causes them to get stuck in a time loop. But it takes them an awful long time to notice that they're stuck in a time loop. And if I remember correctly, the narrator has to step in to point it out to them.
Oh, it's so frustrating. It's like, I was watching, I was like, please, go to the calendar. Do whatever you've got to do.
Yeah, it was really obvious that it was a calendar from very early on.
I think that's why it's so funny as well, because it's so damn obvious, and they don't realise it. It's like, oh gosh. Yeah,
probably spent 108 days living the same day over and over again.
To be fair though, in Haruhi Suzumiya, they live the same... I don't know, summer holiday, like 17,000 times before they fix it.
But they didn't make you watch it though in this case, so it's better than that one.
It did spend 8 episodes trying to like get it across to me, but...
No, I think it's I think it's not only, obviously that big joke makes it great, but it really builds on Meow's character. Seeing him back in his family, it's sad that, you know, his father kind of just wants him to... Is it like a bolt? I don't know. What's it? What is it? A factory of
He's making the, what's it called? It's making something from Gundam. Because it opens with those other mecha references at the start. But the thing he's making is this useless device that Amuro Ray's dad made to add to the, after he's gone mad, he's made this, the thing that they're making in that episode is like this useless bit of technology, which he thinks will help the Gundam. So that's the joke, if you know that reference, is that they're making something which is of no use to anybody.
And Miao's got a love interest who he, know.
Yeah, he's interested in, she's not so,
I don't know, she starts to warm to him when he starts saving her from her awful boss.
But no.
Biology isn't helping there in Miao.
Doesn't she turn out to be like a lesbian?
Yes, she's a lesbian.
Oh god, yeah.
So no, she's not really that interested ever.
Well, they're friends.
Good friends.
I think it's a good episode, though.
I thought it was a good episode as well.
Yeah, I like this one a lot. Particularly because I think this particularly reinforces the being stuck in a sci-fi story and not realizing what's actually happening around you element.
But it's that nice moment where Miao finally joins his father to help him with the tools and all the electronic stuff. And that's how they cut off the leaf of a calendar, isn't it?
It is, yes.
You use the drill bit to drill through. That's nice. Wasn't a waste after all.
No.
Yeah, I thought this episode was good for sort of fleshing out Miao a little bit. Mm. Because he'd never really done all that much apart from got them into a whole lot of trouble before, so...
And then we get to episode 11, I'm Never Remembering You, Baby. Blimey, how do you start to try and describe this episode?
I remember watching this and I thought I had it nailed. I thought I knew exactly what was going on. You know, I thought I predicted it. I thought I was just come out me space dandy. Nope. So you can take it from here.
Well, this is directed by Hiroyuki Okuno, who is director and also the animation supervisor. Has done, well, I won't say everything, but a lot of things, from Bakugan Battle Brawlers to Polar Bears Cafe.
Yeah.
And it is written by To Enjo, who is a novelist, who you can get his, translated into English, you can get his novel Self-Reference Engine. And, so it opens with them going to the registration centre, with a box which they say contains a rare alien. But unfortunately, if they open it, they won't remember what's inside.
I think...
Anyway, it turns out there's this book. There's a book from a library planet who, when it gets checked out, possesses the person who's checked it out to... then uses them to learn more information. And then when they get taken back to the library, it wipes their memory of everything happening. And this is the story of one such incident. But then it gets really odd at the end when it just gets really ridiculous when they get back to the registration center and open a book, which has got a videotape, which also manipulates people's memories. And then... you get like the narrator explaining that a huge intergalactic war happened involving various storage devices which could wipe people's memory.
And no one
can remember it happening because they all have their memories wiped. And he kind of gets some bit of plot here as well with Dr. Gell is doing some calculations. It seems to hint of something to do with the background to Dandy. But I enjoy this episode, and I must watch it again, really, to see if it confuses me even more.
I should definitely watch it again, but I don't know if enjoy is the right... I felt it was an ordeal. Not that it's difficult to watch, but I think it's one of the most confusing things I've ever seen.
That's why it's great.
It was one of those things that I sort of sat there and just watched, and then went, okay, I didn't understand any of that, and just carried on with my day, and I was okay with that.
I wanted it, when it opens and the mention about, that they can't really remember what it looks like, all this stuff, I thought, I don't know if you can remember that episode of Red Dwarf, Thanks for the Memories?
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, this is going to be great if, you know, they've, oh, there's somebody just gone to the toilet. I don't know if you can hear that through the headset.
No.
Oh, good. I'm surprised. So I thought that it was going to be them that experienced something and that they felt the need to erase their own memories. I was like, oh, I can see where this is going, and it's just far from it. I've watched a lot of, like, time travel stuff and, like, weird, like, alternate reality stuff and random shit. But I think it's just the idea that these items are just self-sufficient books. And it's, especially with a tape at the end, like, what?
I think that's
what threw me off.
I think that's just a good gag to be, to finish it on. But yeah, I think Red Dwarf is a good comparison.
Yeah.
This series.
I love Red Dwarf.
I'd say this is probably better than Red Dwarf is currently, and possibly better than Red Dwarf has been through most of its time.
Yeah. Oh, imagine this in a live action setting with Red Dwarf. Oh. The BBC doing Space Dandy. David Tennant as Space Dandy. You can see it.
He hasn't got the hair for it.
Oh, they'd CG it on somehow. They'd CG it on. Oh.
Anything else you want to bring up about this? Or can you not remember? No, no. You've had your memory wiped of anything you asked me to bring up.
Yep, that's exactly it.
Yeah. I don't know. You're right what you say. I need to rewatch this episode. Obviously, the series as a whole, but this episode especially. It's out there.
Okay. Penultimate episode. Nobody Knows the Chameleon Alien Baby. Directed by Satoshi Saga, who directed the 90s OAV series Green Legend Ram, and written by Kimiko Ueno again.
Oh, God. She's everywhere.
Scarlet challenges Dandy to capture a chameleonian. The first half of the episode is pretty much like a fishing anime involving QT going fishing. And there's some pretty good illustrations in there of QT dressed up in its fishing gear. And they go back on the ship, haven't realised they've caught the creature, and they don't notice this sort of middle-aged man just wandering around their ship until it starts impersonating them.
Oh, and yeah. So it doesn't only change its colour like a normal chameleon. It can do anything. It can change it to anything. I wish I had that power.
And then, in order to, it turns into Dandy, and so they have a quiz to determine which Dandy is which.
That was the best scene out of this episode.
It was pretty great. The, Who Wants to Be a Millionaire set.
And QT. What is the question that gives it away again?
Oh, yeah.
That's gonna bug me.
Oh, let me see if I can find it for you. Is that your, and then, yes, and basically QT going, is that your final Dandy? Rather than saying, is that your final answer?
I'm sure it's something along the lines of the fake one's willing to kill the crew. No, he's willing to sacrifice the crew for himself. Or the real one's willing to do that.
The real
because
one.
I think, yeah, the real one wouldn't care, something like that. That's going to annoy me until you find that, so please.
Well, I think they're just going to decide to keep both of them, don't they?
They do.
And
they do.
Dr. Gell captures the chameleonian. And it turns into him and leaves QT and Meow. But they don't know which one's been kidnapped. And they're going, well, is this the real one or the fake one?
And you never know.
Well, we do, because the one on the one on Gale's ship turns into Gale. And Gale's brain breaks again for the second episode running.
I would have liked it. Obviously, I know it's not serialized in the sense it will continue on anyway. But I would have liked it if we didn't know which one. If you know, it's left in the dark.
Or yeah. But yeah, this is just a fun, silly episode. I think visually, it's nothing as stunning as some of the other ones, but I enjoyed it a lot.
Yeah, it's good.
I mean, just for that quiz bit. And within that quiz bit, just for the expression on QT's face, which is literally just a pair of eyes, but it's just the way he's looking at them. When he's asking them, is that your final Dandy? So great.
Before we move on, am I alright to take a quick break and go to the bathroom?
You can.
Thank you.
I shall.
Mission.
Carry on recording.
Just, oh, I'll carry on. Let's check the emails. So when is season two? Well.
Summer.
Saint Hall. Oh, summer. Hmm. I want it now.
Tough.
I just, more so after talking about it, it's...
We can watch it again.
Yeah, I could do. I'm not restricted to...
So you got those dog anime to watch first.
I know. And I'm reading One Punch Man. Oh.
So you know you're caught up. You can get a weekly Shonen Jump subscription.
I think I might have to, yeah. I think this might be the so it's, time.
It's £2 a month. So maybe a bit more if you've got an iPad. Because you've got to pay you got to pay your Apple tax.
Oh, cheeky. Nice.
Because Apple take 30%.
Yeah, that was the thing with the Comixology thing, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Which I'm very disappointed with.
But yeah, that's Amazon standard practice, same with Kindle. Now Amazon and Comixology, it's like...
I didn't realise that's who ended up purchase or whatever trade or whatever else it did, but I was...
Did you get your £5 voucher?
Oh, shit. I remember seeing it, but I didn't... I haven't even downloaded the new version of the app yet. Okay. Let's quickly open it up and see if I still get the opportunity. Oh, damn it. Because I don't actually have a Comixology account.
I think. Oh, I can't remember what it is. But... You don't have a Comixology account?
I did set up.
You must have a Comixology account if you're using Comixology.
I used to always use iTunes.
Ah, okay.
Because it was linked.
I don't know. I have no idea how it works in.
Don't know, quick look, I can't sign in. Should find out.
Android, so. And I've only bought stuff through the website, so. And then downloaded it onto my tablet.
What kind of format is your username in?
I can't remember.
Oh, 2 cents, I mean, I'm just trying to. Hopefully get a £5 voucher. Oh, it's not there. I'll have to figure that out later. Damn it. Right.
Okie dokie. And then we get to our final episode. Even vacuum cleaners fall in love, baby.
Yeah, they do.
Which is directed by Shingo Natsumi again and written by Dai Sato. And in this, QT falls in love with a... coffee maker called Maker. And while Dandy and Meow just sit around discussing their love lives for the entire episode, which their tastes in women seem to change on a daily basis according to this episode.
So I can't even remember them conversing. I can't even remember that.
Basically, in the first half of the episode, whenever it did like day one, day two, it would often start with the pair of them sitting down and Meow was, I think he was sort of online dating or something, and then he decided he was just only interested in 2D women, and then he was only interested in local idols. And I can't remember, I know one of Dandy's was, he was only going to be interested in married women from now on, where the other ones were. While QT's getting interested in coffee maker women. But one day, the coffee maker and the cash register from this coffee shop have gone. Been taken to a landfill because they've malfunctioned, showing emotions. So QT goes to the landfill and discovers a parody of The Matrix going on.
I had that note, the Zion scene.
It is, yes.
Yeah, I had that written down.
Where basically all these domestic appliances are going to rebel against humanity by combining to make a giant robot. And all throughout this, there's another subplot going on with Dr. Gell and B are working on... Oh, it's got a ridiculous name to the point where Dr. Gell complains about the ridiculous name. They're trying to build up this Peonium energy again. But... Dr. Gell accidentally spills tea on it at one point and then quickly wipes it up and then it shoots a wayward blast, as it says here, towards the planet where QT is. QT gets hit by it and becomes giant size, which means we get a giant sized mecha fight between these rebel white goods and QT.
Brilliant.
I also get the Dr. Gell's reaction to there being some sort of accident is like overly guilty.
For a bad guy.
It's pretty funny. It's like, how could that happen?
I don't regard this as a finale at all. I don't think anyone should. So, I don't know, maybe I felt I wanted more from a show that I'm not going to get to see till summer.
I reckon I would have been more disappointed had season 2 not been announced before this, because I would have been like, that wasn't exactly what I was expecting for a finale, but I don't think it's a bad episode to end on.
Oh, no.
Because it leaves me remembering Space Dandy positively. You know, because I remember this episode. I really liked this episode. They did a really good job with it. So I'm looking forward to summer.
I hope so. I can't wait.
Oh, there's loads of stuff coming out in summer. Super excited.
This will be the best.
Well, season 2 is coming out, so maybe not.
What is?
Free season 2.
Oh, God.
I'm not joking either.
Well, yeah, there's a few good things. I'll bring some stuff down. There's the Studio Ghibli TV show.
That's going to be interesting.
Sailor Moon, Space Dandy 2, Terror in Tokyo.
Pre-season 2.
That's not on my list, surprisingly.
It should be on your list.
I've not seen season 1, I'd be lost.
No, it's just boys swimming. Which Space Dandy didn't have enough of, really. So
is that what you want to see in season 2? More boys.
I would like to see boys swimming.
Well, yeah. I'm thinking there's a little problem there that Meow's a cat and Cutie's a robot, so neither of them are going to be too keen on swimming.
If we could just get more Dandy surfing, that would be fine.
A surf series just with Dandy.
That'd be wicked. Why wouldn't you want that? But anyway, sorry.
Now, how do you two feel about the 80s-ness of the show? Can you relate to that?
I don't even think I can, so...
I was born in 91, so...
Exactly. Whereas actually just sort of... Really, it is very 80s. But I mean, you should look at the layout of the spaceship. It's got... And the fact that he's got, like, old boombox and plays cassettes rather than CDs. It made me think... Because the Star Future bit where they do, like, the pre-theme... If you hear the full version of that, it's very Star Trek-like.
Yeah.
But at the same time, it's like, that's 60s rather than 80s. But at the same time, if you were in the 80s, you still knew that because you're watching Star Trek repeats all the time.
That's all there was on TV in the 80s.
Well, I was thinking, because it was like, I was thinking, what is my science fiction? And the only thing which is probably my science fiction is Red Dwarf. Everything else was like handed down to me. Before, maybe Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, which this also kind of resembles. But everything else, like Doctor Who, even though I was watching new episodes of Doctor Who, that started in the 60s. Star Trek, I was watching repeats, and then we got Next Generation. And then it was like adaptations of old novels, Day of the Triffids, Chocky, the Tripods.
What the hell's Chocky?
Chocky is another John Wyndham thing. I can't remember. I don't think I was allowed to watch it as a child. So this kind of fits that sort of Hitchhiker's Red Dwarf thing.
Yeah.
That I enjoy so much. You Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy fan, either of you?
I've seen the film, I haven't read the book.
I've not done anything with that, I'm afraid. I've not seen the film or read the book.
It started as a radio show, so you'd also listen
to
the radio show.
I've been such a big Red Dwarf fan, you know, people have kept saying, oh, you haven't seen that, you don't know much about that. So, maybe I should check it out as well.
Yeah, I'd
check. Pretty good.
Yeah.
If you like Space Dandy, I'm sure you'll like Hitchhikers. The film's okay. The TV series is also okay. The books and the radio shows are the best way to experience it, I think.
I don't have time to read books. Comics only. Things with pictures, please.
I looked at the Space Dandy merchandise. The only things I found were some badges and a boobies hat.
The boobies t-shirt as well.
Is there? I didn't see that.
Yeah, there's a t-shirt as well.
The boobies hat.
Because I was trying to think, who does that appeal to? Who's going to wear that?
People who are out, who like boobies. Anthony, you're interesting again. I noticed the boobies hat. It illustrated that you could put the peak up to hide the logo.
Genius.
Presumably to hide your shame that you're wandering around with a hat from a fake Hooters equivalent.
Yeah.
It's like bad enough.
It's stuff for anime conventions, really, isn't it? I can't imagine going, yeah, I'm going to wear my boobies hat today.
You can wear your boobies hat to Hooters and see what reaction you get.
Boobies t-shirt would be fine, though. I feel like I could wear that outdoors.
To work.
No. Definitely not to work. Gosh.
Would you wear any anime merchandise to work?
Just me Naruto headband.
Every day.
Always remember when somebody said, I will give you £100 to wear one for work. And I refused. I refused. Cleverly so.
I've worn Uniqlo t-shirts to work. And also my One Piece hoodie to work a lot. But that's kind of, you wouldn't really know it was anime.
Yeah.
Except for the polar bear printed on the back of it. Wearing a jumpsuit. Ronnie Harry, anything else you want to discuss about Space Dandy before we move on to my game?
Best series for me of the year.
Better than Cowboy Bebop?
Only just started.
Oh, no. I don't mean like, you know, ever. But oh, is that just a general question?
Yeah.
No, it's not.
I'm edging towards thinking it might be. The more I think about Space Dandy, the more I think it's really, really good.
Afraid not.
Maybe season 2 might seal the deal.
Have you watched Cowboy Bebop yet, Abby?
No.
Anthony's still not sent you his DVDs.
No.
I guess I'm gonna
get if there are actually cons this year, I probably would have borrowed it off you, but... We'll get it back until next April.
There's loads of cons to go to. You can go to CamCon.
CamCon
in Cambridge.
Yeah, there's CamCon, there's HamCon, which is in, like, Halifax or somewhere.
There's Doncaster HamCon. Cosplay Convention, or it's called Yorkshire Cosplay Convention in Doncaster. There's so many cons to go to.
Yeah, but they're not the big ones that I know of, because I'm too mainstream.
You're not going to Expo, then?
Oh, yeah, I'm going to Expo.
Are you going to see Tiger and Bunny next weekend?
Tiger and Bunny?
Tiger and Bunny at the BF, at the NFT.
Oh, I didn't know that was happening, so no.
Okay, right. I don't know whether there's tickets still left, but it's on the 18th of May. They're showing Rising and a bunch of other movies as well.
Oh,
which
nice.
Aren't Tiger and Bunny.
Boo.
Anthony's not going. He's going to watch Captain Harlock at home instead.
Yeah, comfort my own living room.
Lame.
Well, bedroom. I can't go to London, I haven't got the money. Expensive.
Okay, anyway, the game I have devised. Obviously, a famous greaser and quiff wearer in popular culture is the Fonz from Happy Days. One of his catchphrases was E. So this game is called E or Knee. So I'm going to give you the name of an anime character, and you have to tell me whether they have a pompadour, quiff, or regent. Which is, in which case you go, eee. If they, you think they don't have a pompadour, quiff, or regent, you only go, nee.
I think I get it.
Okay. Let's start with Ebby. Nick Fury from Avengers Disc Wars.
Oh my god. What? Nay.
You are correct. He's bald as a coot.
I don't know what you're gonna say there.
What?
Sorry, nothing.
Anthony.
Yeah.
Seiya Tobitaka from Inazuma 11.
Hey.
You are correct. Ebby, Horo Horo from Shaman King.
Hey.
Nay. Anthony, Tenjiro Kirinji from Bleach.
Hey.
You are correct.
Yes, I had to think which one that could be.
He has a giant. He is like monstrous quiff. Ebby, back to you. Hatchan from One Piece.
Oh my god. Nay?
You are correct. Anthony, Danbe Hayami from Cutie Honey.
Danbe? Which one was Danbe?
Well, he wasn't in Re-Cutie Honey.
Okay. Nay. Nay.
You are correct.
Yes.
He is bald. Ebi, Kaito from Hero Bank.
E?
You are correct. There was an episode about his haircut recently. Anthony, Kazuma Kuwabara from Yu Yu Hakusho.
Kuwabara.
You are correct.
Yes.
Ebi, Sweet JP from Redline.
E.
You are absolutely correct. Anthony, Perm from Urusei Yatsura.
Hey.
You are correct. He's got one of those sort of perm quiffs going on.
Awesome.
Ebi, Tepe from Toriko.
Oh, God. Nay?
No, wrong. I'm afraid not.
Oh. I would have got it.
Oh. No.
Anthony, Dutch from Black Lagoon.
Dutch? Dad, I've never seen Black Lagoon. I've seen the first, like, two episodes. Is he in the first two episodes?
He's in the entire series.
Nay.
You are correct.
Yes. That was a good clue.
Ebi. Noboru Maruyama from Bleach.
Nay.
That is correct. He's the bald guy with the really sharp head.
I'm just guessing most of these, by the way.
Well, mine are genuine, like... Yes or nays.
Anthony. Frankie from One Piece.
Oh, well. If this is a... Oh, I'm going to cry. Hey.
You are correct, yes.
Good.
I'm not going to be unfair. He has at good, one good. Point had a quiff. Good, Ebi. Good. Benny from Black Lagoon.
Nay.
That is correct.
That one I knew.
Anthony. Ryunsuke Umiyamiya from Shaman King. Ryu of the Wooden Sword. That's his other name.
E.
You are correct.
Yes, I know the one.
Ebi, Shinichi Mekazawa from Cromartie.
I feel like there's some interesting hair in that shot. I'm gonna go with A.
Nay, he's a robot. Looks like a tin can.
Damn.
And finally, Anthony. You're already winning, but you can really...
It's for 100%.
Yes, 100%. Yeah,
100%.
Inspector Clamp Grosky from Professor Layton.
Oh, my God. Is he in the first game?
He is in the movie and the second lot of games, the fourth, fifth, and sixth.
Oh, it's going to haunt me. Nay...
No, he's very much...
Darn it.
He's got a huge pompadour and massive chest hair.
Oh, I'm so upset with myself.
You know what? That's the first time you've beat me in a quiz, so...
All those ones, I just, like, instantly pictured, bang, 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 Kuwabara from Yu Yu Hakusho, easy.
Knows his haircuts.
I do.
I apparently don't.
So you better remember some of those for... Top anime baldies, Anthony.
Oh, yeah.
Upcoming episode. So, that's our Space Dandy episode. Where can people find you on the internet, Ebi?
I listed off a whole list of things last time, and I'm not going to do that this time. I'm just going to say, if you are interested in finding out what I'm doing, you can follow me on Twitter, which is twitter.com/BizarreJelly5, or at BizarreJelly5, rather.
How about you, Anthony? Where can people find you on the internet?
Twitter's probably your best bet. And ask you. Go and subscribe on YouTube to Locked Door Puzzle. You can watch me play Call of Cthulhu.
I see you're escaping from Innsmouth now.
Oh, yeah. I'm not even going to tell you what happens at the end of that. Ooh. I wasn't best pleased. Do you know the story well, or...?
Were you eaten by Dagon?
Who's Dagon?
I believe he's the thing which the people in Innsmouth worship.
Oh, right, no, we didn't fight anything that... we fight a cop in a hotel, not in a hotel, in a police station, and he's very strong. He's very strong. That's all I'll say.
Exciting cop fights.
Yes, he's very strong.
You can find me on Twitter at awesome_engine. And as always, you can find this podcast on dynamitingthebrain.com, on facebook.com/dynamitingthebrain, and on iTunes. So why not subscribe and write us a review so that more people can find out? Yeah. So why not subscribe and write us a review so that more people can find out about the dandy guys on the internet that are dynamiting the brain. Goodbye!
Your life's gone down the drain. Your body's wrecked with pain. There's just one thing to blame. Dynamite in the brain. Dynamite in the brain. Dynamite in the brain. Dynamite in the brain.